been a weird day. So, just eating, we went from not eating to doing nothing but eat. Here, let me just tell you what I've had today. I had coffee in the morning. I had one spoon of horrible Progresso soup. I had one bite of even worse E-Mart Sloppy Joe. I had a really good mini sandwich chicken salad on a croissant from Le Bon Boucher, yes.
I could be wrong.
No, I think that sounds right. And then Chef Liz brought in food, and I had a scotch egg, a miso wing, and a voodoo gingerbread jelly cookie, and a Red Bull. And I feel insane.
That'll do it.
Good food, man.
That'll do it.
That'll do it.
Man.
I had all the second half and did not have the first half of any of those.
Yeah, I like to not think that I eat so much. Like, I don't eat very much throughout a day. But then when I really break it down, I had Fruit Loops, had a bunch of donut holes.
We
when the donuts
eat two
were
lunches
here.
Every day. Not to out you, but...
I don't eat two lunches. I have breakfast and then lunch. It's a heavy breakfast, but it's breakfast. Like, my usual breakfast, I either have a Lunchable, or I have one of those little cups of cereal. Or I have two McDonald's sausage biscuits. You know, it's a balanced breakfast if you combine all those things.
That's what I'm telling you. I love that show, Secret Eaters. You can watch it on YouTube. It's a British show, and they just follow you around, and they show you everything you eat all day. They're like, oh, you thought you only ate 500 calories. Turns out you ate 5,000, didn't you?
Well, must have been a good day.
Turns out you ate 5 biscuits.
We're just talking about dinners when we were a kid. And Trish, our buddy Trish Gazelle, had such a great, still has a great family, but growing up had such a great family. And they had very traditional dinners, you know, homemade. And then every night they all sat at the table and had dessert and coffee. And I just think that's the coolest thing. It's so
sounds very
father
nice.
Knows best. And Wheels was talking about how you guys didn't always eat at the table.
It was here and there.
The only time we ever did not eat at the table was when my dad had union meetings, which I didn't know what a union was. I just knew that dad was out of the picture. And we'd have banquet, fried chicken, and chocolate pudding, TV dinners, and we'd sit and eat them on TV trays and watch TV.
Awesome.
And it was magic.
Hmm.
Pure magic.
Yeah, we did a lot of the TV trays. But I think it, you know, like, I don't know, because it's hard. There's like a separate line, right? Because my mom went back to work, I think, when I was in fourth grade. So from that point, everything was a little more loose, right? She's not getting home till 5:30. My dad would get home 5:36, or he'd go straight to hockey, or I would go with him to referee hockey. I wouldn't referee. I was a kid. I just watch him referee, sit in the stands, and then go play Donkey Kong and Pac-Man in the arcade during the intermissions, of course.
It's a good time.
Yeah. Yeah, but it was always a little different because then I'd have basketball practice one day or baseball or whatever.
Were you a latchkey kid?
Oh, yeah, we had that. There were a couple times where I forgot the key at home, get back from school around 3 o'clock, and you're like, well, I guess I'm climbing through the window. So I learned how to take the screen out, and I rigged a way to unlock the window, and I climbed through the kitchen sink window.
Of course you did.
Yep, and got us in.
That's fun. Your dad being a union guy, was he gone a lot?
Yeah, and he did shift work.
Yeah.
So he worked midnights a lot, or he did a lot of overtime and
that's
stuff.
That's a rough way to go.
Yeah, I remember he always had earplugs, these like lime green earplugs, because he would be sleeping in the middle of the day trying to catch up. And it's like, you got to be quiet, dad's sleeping.
Yeah.
My dad, not going to lie, love him to death, but he was pretty mean until I was 10 because he would work shift work. He worked at Shell. For Shell as an operator, like your brother, like Big Dave, and he worked shift work, and it did not agree with him because he just couldn't. And I relate. I don't do well on my sleep schedule being disrupted.
Yeah.
And then when I was 10, he took a job as a union carpenter and was assigned to Shell. So he was still working at the same place, but doing a different job. It was straight days, and it got a lot better. I bet a lot of people my age can relate to that.
I did overnights for years, and I loved it.
Well, you're a part of the night watch.
I know. But it was easy because you didn't have to split your sleep. You know, I would get home, I would, you know, get the kid up for school, get her on the bus, and then I would go to bed, and then I'd wake up when she got off the bus. Like, it was a really, you know, simple, easy, not much different than being, in fact, better than being at work. Because instead of getting home, you know, the 9 to 5, you're not getting home till 5:30. I was there when she got out the bus and at 3 o'clock. Mm-hmm.
That's great.
Yeah. Worked out great. And the morning drive? Mm-mm. No, thank you.
My worst shift was 4 to 7 because I would get off at 7 and then driving out to Darden Prairie took until 7:45. Mm. And Phoebe went to bed at 8 or 8:30. It was just not good.
Yeah.
Not tenable. Not for me.
Yeah.
I mean,
morning drive. Morning drive at doing sports talk is hard. Because you got to stay up late watching games. And so you're going to get 3 hours of sleep, maybe four if you're lucky. Then you had to get there at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning.
That's been really tough for you.
Oh, it was terrible. It was terrible. And then you go home and then you take like another 3 or 4 hour nap if you can. It's brutal. That's the worst. Splitting the sleep is the worst. I don't know how people do it. I don't know how Tom and Debbie and everybody does it.
I remember Mark Close was filling in for someone, I think JC. And back when we were at MS, when I was a puppy radio guy, and he was doing mornings, he had done them for about 3 months, and I saw him one day. We weren't buddies like we are now. We didn't know each other that well. And he looked crazy. And he started saying crazy things to me. And I'm like, are you okay? He's like, I am not okay.
I'm exhausted.
Yeah, he was just beyond.
Yeah.
Got a stairway in you?
Sure. All right, so I want to see how this sits with you guys. Because there was just a plea agreement this week that TD Bank pled guilty to laundering drug cartel money, and nobody's going to jail. The company's going to pay a $3 billion fine, and when you look at the statements made, it's all TD Bank chose profits over compliance with the law. No, people did that. Individual human beings made that choice. The bank is not a sentient being. Human beings decided we're going to allow our bank. Now, they didn't like team up with the cartels, but they made things easy enough for the cartels to use them to. And they knew something was going on. They knew something was wrong, but they chose profits over doing the right thing. That's what it says in the plea agreement. But they don't reference the human beings that chose to do that. Why do we do this? Why do we do this with the pharmaceutical industry when the Sackler family becomes billionaires selling Oxy to people, knowing it's addictive and saying it's not? The company pays and everybody pays, but no individuals at that level go to prison. If I laundered money for a drug cartel, I am going to prison.
I couldn't agree more.
Why do we do this and why do we allow this?
I think I know. I mean, just money talks.
Yeah, but why do we all accept it? Why?
Because just like me with Trump, you feel like nothing you do matters. That's the new modern mantra. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what I say. Doesn't matter what I do. Nothing changes.
I mean, there are a good number of people out there that are always like, oh, you guys are all asleep. I'm awake. I get it. You know what though? You're not. We have the numbers. In this country, there are 330 million of us normies. And there's only a few hundred people that are at these high-end levels. But we don't care enough. We just don't do anything about it. We don't demand that something is done about it. Like, look, these people are, those actions are leading to people dying.
Go ahead, Rich.
I mean, I'm not trying to be like, why should we even try? But who would we appeal to?
Well, I mean, the bottom line is we would have to discipline ourselves to vote for people that will change it. But we won't. We're too busy fighting each other. We're too busy arguing about other things and not paying attention to the big dogs that are doing the big crimes. If TD Bank had to pay a $3 billion fine as a part of this, which is what their penalty is, how much do you think they made over that time? And I'll bet you the trade's worth it.
And
nobody goes to jail.
For sure. Yeah.
What are we doing? We always act like the street criminals are the bad guys. These are the terrible people. The Sackler family in the pharmaceutical industry, how many thousands of people died because they lied to people and said their product wasn't addictive? None of them went to prison. They just had to cut a check. But yet, the guy on the street corner who gets caught, he's going to jail.
I had a question, a related question, that I've had on my show sheet now for like a week. When we're at home watching television, you know that it's all drug commercials. And it leads you to get overwhelmed and think we have too many drugs, we're being given too many drugs. But then I think, well, in 1880, they wouldn't have said that. They could have sure used some penicillin.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you guys think that in general, we have too many prescription drugs or not enough? Like, hey, if you can fix something I got, give it.
Boy, that's a good question. I would err on the side of we're doing too much in this sense. Your doctor should be the one telling you what you need. You shouldn't be asking your doctor if you need something. Like, if you have a problem, you go to your doctor and say, this is my problem. What do we do about it? And they should be the experts. They should be the ones that either know or can do a little of the research to figure out what you need.
I hadn't thought of that.
Because I shouldn't be going to the doctor and saying, I want Prolaxalaxis because it's going to fix me. Like that, I shouldn't be in this equation.
Yeah.
I don't know anything. I should be listening to the person that studies this stuff for a living and deals with a lot of people dealing with these things.
I'll go you one better. As a marketer, it seems to me like it should almost be illegal to have like the Jardian song that you sing along to. I'm lowering my, it's a jam, right? It's like, should we really allow drug companies to make it that attractive? Shouldn't it be a little more boring? And if you have, small cell carcinoma, maybe try this as opposed to all these people dancing and jamming. I don't know. Maybe I'm just being an old fuddy-duddy, but
yeah, I always find it weird.
Seems a bit manipulative for a drug.
Yeah, and I find it weird, too, that you're supposed to, I mean, if I'm a doctor and my patients keep coming to me and saying, I think I should maybe look at this, I'd be like, why do you even know? You know, that might be, the people that would you go to any other expert in a field and say, go to your investment dude and say, you know what, whatever you think is smart, I'm going to pay you to just do this other thing. Well,
I saw a commercial.
Yeah, I saw a commercial do that.
324 DGS. Dave Murray has a live look coming up, although, I mean, I love Dave and I love his forecast, but I think we can all kind of see where this is going. I'm going to pull a Wheeler. Would you prefer fun facts or a list of things that instantly disgust us?
Oh.
Disgust.
Yeah. All right,
disgust.
You asked for it. Things that instantly disgust most people. Food splatters in the microwave.
Yeah.
No good.
The sound of someone who has a bad cold.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of mean, but
that's probably scientific, right? Like the bad cold
stay
one.
Away from
it's
them.
Like, stay away from them.
Chunky milk.
Well, yeah, what's wrong with you?
Not supposed to be chunky.
Here's one of mine. A Band-Aid in a pool.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
They fall off sometimes.
No.
Ew.
No. Like, I remember walking into a country club bathroom once, barefoot, mistake number one, and there was a Band-Aid on the shower floor. I almost died.
Can I tell you guys the second grossest pool story that I have?
Sure.
Which is being at Hurricane Harbor in Six Flags. This is not, I wasn't like a little kid. I was like 23. And a Band-Aid ended up kind of on the lip, right? Not all the way in the mouth, thankfully.
Oh my gosh.
But I got hit by a wave, and it was like, what's this?
You just really hurt, Rachel.
It was really bad.
It was fine.
Not. Nasty. It took me months to,
you're fine,
to be able to tell that story.
Wheels is like, give me that Band-Aid, I'll chew on it. Who cares?
I've taken them out of pools and thrown them out.
Yuck.
I don't care. There's chlorine in the water. It's fine.
That's only my second gross pool story.
Can you just not tell the first one?
I'll tell the first one. So this one was...
He was begging for it. He's like, yeah. You sure you don't want me to tell it?
This one was when I was a kid. And my brother and I, my family was staying in a hotel on vacation. And my brother and I went down to the pool. And there was nobody at the pool. It was like prime pool hours. And we're like, that's crazy that there's no one in this pool. And so we get in the pool. And the pool's like extra cold for some reason. And the water level was like wrong. It was like too high. The whole thing just felt off. But we're like swimming around in the pool, whatever, and there's these things at the bottom of the pool. We can't figure out what they are. And so I'm like poking them with my foot and stuff, trying to figure out what's going on. Anyway, you could probably figure out what they were. They were poops. Somebody had pooped in the pool, and so they had closed the pool, but they put up no signage to indicate that the pool was closed, and none of the doors were locked. So dear sweet little, like, 12-year-old Eric and 8-year-old Andrew came... bursting in there and hopped in the pool.
Andrew, I love you, but if that was my story, I'd be taking that to my grave.
He didn't know.
He's the victim here. The thing is, it's one of those things where it's like, I have to own this because I survived it.
You're fine.
I have to.
Yeah.
just slap a Band-Aid on it and get over it.
Take that Band-Aid that fell off in the pool, put it on there, and you're good.
You should have been a therapist or a priest.
You're fine.
You're fine. You're sitting here, aren't you?
Tony Soprano. You made it. Like,
you're still,
all right,
you're still
you
kicking poop in the pool?
It.
Whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
You're fine.
Shake it off.
Swallowed a Band-Aid, raging river, you're fine.
That's protein.
Yeah, it's good for you. Builds your immune system.
I mean, I'm not trying to be gross. I mean, it's going to be borderline. But I mean, like, we've all stepped in dog crap, right?
Scotch egg.
Not with my bare feet.
Not with your bare foot.
Oh, never?
Kevin. Oh, I have a lot.
Yeah.
What, you have?
It's happened.
Oh, I have a lot.
See, in
really?
Our day, though, we would play outside a lot barefoot.
And the dogs, no one picked up dog
no,
poop.
They would, yeah, you could just be running down the road. You're like, oh, no.
I'm
usually,
not kidding.
You slip and fall. Sometimes you get on your leg.
You had fresh dog poop and you had white dog
yeah,
poop.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
The white's fine. You just, like, step on a rock, but, yeah, yeah. Fresh
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, that's what it's like.
No, it was.
Same thing.
A rock that crumbled.
It's gross. The fresh is so gross.
The fresh is the grossest thing in the world.
Why don't we do that
bad.
After the break?
Yeah, why don't we?
Yeah. We don't want to associate the client
don't
with
this
conversation.
Don't do this with Dr. Maupin. No 335 DGS on KMOX. Hope you're enjoying this blast of fall. I certainly am. I'm wearing real clothes. I look like a real guy.
Wait, the other ones weren't real?
I look like a little kid. I mean, everything I wear, I mean, you're right there with me.
I am. Yeah.
Everything we wear could be a junior high kid.
Yeah. Or high school or college, yeah.
But not a grown up.
No. But
unless you don't have a job.
Well, I mean, you know, there's nothing wrong with being a giant man.
Or unless you're super rich.
Yeah, then you can do whatever you want.
Right.
There you go.
Yeah.
So we just look like billionaires.
Yeah, see, I think that's the role I want to play.
Yeah, not the unemployed.
I'm just the poor billionaire.
Not to be mean.
Yes.
But Elon is the richest man in the world, right? Or one of them?
I think so. I think Zuck just took him over.
Oh, okay. Well, Zuck doesn't dress too bad.
Zuck has been dressing crazy lately. Somebody got to him. He has completely changed his style.
He used to just be like a uniform.
Yeah.
He used to just wear, like, you know, a normal guy clothes. Now he's got the, like, weird kind of, like, permed hair
he's
going on.
He's got the broccoli haircut.
Yeah, and he wears, like, chains now and, you know, black turtlenecks and stuff. Somebody got to him.
What's the broccoli haircut?
It's the curly on top shades on the
sides. Yeah, okay, yeah.
But his clothes fit him. Elon.
His clothes do fit him.
His clothes don't fit.
Ill-fitting.
They're ill-fitting. It's like, get a stylist, man. That's the first thing I would do if I were a billionaire.
I mean, the poor guy's built like a condom full of walnuts. So, I mean, it's kind of tough to...
I wasn't necessarily going to say it like that. I was going to sympathize as a fellow weirdly shaped man. You know, it can be hard to find clothes that fit, but you got to keep trying.
Like, when you're that rich, they'll make them for you.
Yeah, he could have his own tailor.
Mean, good example. This is something I think I give Donald Trump credit for. He knows how to dress to look the way he wants to
look.
Agreed. Yeah, that's
right?
true.
Because he's really heavy, but when you look at how his suits are tailored,
well,
it's not obvious.
He's 215.
Right. Yeah, sure he is.
I think he's the healthiest man on earth
of all
time. But in all seriousness, he knows what he's doing, and his tailor knows what he's doing. Because he doesn't look like a heavy guy in his suits. He looks like just a guy.
I agree with that.
You know what must be incredibly difficult? Not that this is like, you know, the worst thing anyone could ever go through. But I remember whenever like AOC and Cori Bush and all those people were elected to Congress, there was something going around like, hey, it's really expensive to be a woman in politics because you want to look nice every day. But it's not like with a man, you could just buy like, I have one blue suit and one gray suit and five shirts and I mix and match all of them.
And about 10 ties, yeah.
There's a lot more pressure, I think, as a woman to like mix it up all the time and not be wearing the same thing every day.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I don't disagree.
Yeah.
So Dave has a medical thing going on today in his family, so he just sent us a live look.
Hi, guys. Couldn't be with you live today, but obviously a October chill has settled in. We had a reinforcement of that this morning. That's why there were clouds around. Actually, kind of a weak cool front coming by, but it reinforced the northwest flow. Couple of sprinkles, couple of light showers here and there. But that sets us up for tonight. It's what we call a night of perfect radiational cooling. Clear skies, light winds. That allows any heat from the day, which was limited, to escape back up into space and allow the temperatures to drop and drop quickly. Our temperatures will actually be in the 40s come mid to late evening, and then there'll be areas of frost developing away from the urban environment. We'll get down to about 35 degrees. Some folks could get close to 33. So areas of frost after about 4 o'clock in the morning up until about 8 o'clock in the morning on Wednesday. It doesn't really finish the growing season, but it will certainly put a little bump into that process that we always go through in the month of October. On Wednesday, lots of sunshine, cool temperatures throughout the day, 59 for the high. It's going to take a while for it. And when you go out the door in the morning on Wednesday, it is going to be chilly. Wednesday night, clear skies down to 38. Thursday, sunny. A cold start, but it will be noticeably warmer Thursday afternoon as the winds swing around to the south, as high pressure kind of moves by. 67 for the high on Thursday. Friday, sunny and 71 over the weekend. 75 should do it for the high both Saturday and Sunday. There's no major storm system in sight. So once again, we stay very dry, but that is very typical in the month of October. Join you live tomorrow. Bundle up tonight, though, if you're going out.
All right.
Headlines.
Headlines is brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app.
Wheels, did you have milk throat a couple minutes ago when you were talking?
No.
I think you did.
I think I talked like that a little bit.
I don't think so.
No. I would never have that.
Well, I haven't had any milk.
I'm not scared of that. It's not. It's an expression.
Well, you can get it without the milk.
It's just when you have like gunk in your throat.
No. I don't know.
Okay.
No, never. Whatever.
If I did, okay.
I have a question for Dave. Why did you want to know that?
I'm fascinated by milk throat, and when Wheeler has it, it just sounded really weird.
Oh. Maybe I was just mumbling. I
just wanted to see whether he would deny it. So.
I don't even know. I don't know. I think I kind of know what you mean.
So here's my best example. When Nick was about 15, 16, we're all sitting downstairs, and he came down for his birthday, and I had terrible milk throat, which I didn't know.
Were you drinking milk?
No, I probably just had coffee.
Okay.
But it was like the first words I had said, and I went, "Happy birthday, Nick!" And to this day, anytime that comes up, everyone in the family just goes,
I wouldn't mind doing that once in a while on accident. That'd be funny.
Back to you, Rach.
All right, a new survey of 2,000 U.S. adults from Forbes Health shows that 60% of survey respondents stated their mental health has either been slightly, moderately, or significantly negatively impacted by the upcoming election. Mm. Which is funny to me because I'm an outlier here. I was just thinking the other day, it doesn't even really feel like election season to me. Compare this to 2020 or 2016, but mostly 2020. 2020 was so horribly stressful because we were in the middle of COVID and like Trump's getting COVID and everyone's like, what's going on? The debates were so weird. It was, you know, we just come off this like very unrestful summer and all this horrible stuff was happening. It's a lot calmer this election cycle, and it's allowed me to check out a lot more than it did 4 years ago.
I also feel, and I get that we went through all the crazy shenanigans of Biden's performance and stepping aside and Kamala taking over, but I just feel like it's never stopped.
That's the thing I was going to get to. I think that's why it's stressing people out. It just never stops. It's been going on for 2 years. Mm. We've been doing this for 2 years. It never stops.
Yeah, it feels like I was talking about it with someone the other day and they were like, yeah, when Kamala took over in like April, and I'm like, dude, that was the end of July.
Yeah.
But it feels like it's been forever. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
And as soon as this election's over, it's going to be.
Yeah. You'll get like a couple weeks.
Who's the challenger in 4 years to the person who won?
And this one will, I say this every year, like I'll get another contract from Odyssey because after the election, it's going to be just as interesting. And it is always held true. But if Trump wins, I don't want that, but it'll be fascinating. If he wins, we won't be able to look away. And if he loses, it will be fascinating because who's the heir apparent? Is Trumpism over? Does it get even bigger? That's going to be darkly fascinating to watch.
According to the latest national NBC News poll, 5% of registered voters said they had already cast their ballots. Another 47% said they plan to vote early.
Yep.
I would like to do that, but I'm too stupid.
Oh, it's easy.
Is it?
Just look it up. I don't know what it is where
you
live.
I'm out.
I know by us, you just go to a place, you give them your thing, and you're done.
Hey, I'm looking for a place. I got my thing.
Yep.
I don't have an absentee vote, please.
I'm sorry?
What is wrong with that man?
I just drink milk.
Nothing wrong with it.
His name's Johnny Milkthroat.
Fewer Americans are quitting their jobs. This is according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Quit rates were at their lowest levels in August since June of 2020.
Remember when evidently everyone but us quit?
The Great Resignation.
Yeah.
Maybe that changed some things.
Maybe.
People are like, uh-oh.
I don't got no money.
I better treat people well. Well, also, you know, maybe they're getting treated a little better.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry. I feel like I just have a bunch of polls for you guys, but they're really interesting today. The latest CBS News poll shows 47% of respondents said they feel that America's best days are in its future. 45% said they're in the past. What do you guys think? Is America cooked, or do we have brighter days ahead?
We're cooked.
Everybody always thinks their country's cooked. We've been like going to hell in a handbasket for 150 years.
Mm-hmm.
There's a certain group of people that are afraid of change. They don't ever want anything to change. And then there's another group of people where the status quo is never good enough and things have to change. And I think that poll shows it right down the middle.
Mm-hmm. I'm probably the person you're talking about because I believe that put aside politics and wars, which I didn't understand because I was young. But to me, the 70s, 80s, 90s were far superior in most ways than what we have now. To my personal taste, my Dave Glover, no one else, what did I prefer? If you said we can go back to the lifestyle of the 90s, I would smash that button.
Right. But some of that, too, is what age you were during those times. Yeah. I mean, the same for me. You know, I was a kid and in my 20s during those years. I mean, those are pretty awesome years. And that's part of the problem is that it's never going to be as cool as it was. Because if you're the same age, I'm not sure it would be the same fun, Dave. If you're the same age you are now, but going back to the 80s and 90s and you don't have streaming services, you don't have a lot of the things, we don't have smartphones, we don't have any of that stuff. You're going to know the difference. You're going to be a lot more bored.
That's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
Whooping cough cases are surging in the United States. The CDC shows that over 17,500 cases have been confirmed as of early October. That's the highest number of confirmed cases since 2014.
Remember Fee, when she was little, used to get croup?
Yeah.
Which was like having consumption or something. It was just so weird for
the croup
kid in North America in the 2000s to get croup.
Yeah, I think Shannon got that at one point.
I remember sleeping outside because they need the cold air and being pretty cold, like sort of like it was last night, and sleeping outside on a chair with her on my lap, all covered up in blankets. Very sweet.
Mm-hmm. That's really nice.
Maybe we can do that again sometime.
I bet she would say no.
Show up at her sorority. Hey, honey. I brought blankets.
What would her reaction be? Would it be total dismissal or would it be humor?
Both.
Yeah.
She is
would crush him.
She is the perfect Venn diagram of Glovers. She's got all the humor and twice the mean. The stuff I think she says.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
One more story here. Donald Trump's campaign is one of McDonald's biggest supporters. Between January of 2023 and September 20th of 2024, the Republican nominee's campaign spent $31,000 at McDonald's.
One of the few things I like about him.
I mean, that's cool. Two of Trump's former aides revealed his typical meal in a 2017 book, which is two Big Macs, two Filet-O-Fish, and a chocolate malt.
No.
That's a lot of food.
That is impressive.
I mean, he's a big guy, and like tall guy.
I'm a little suspicious of that because they don't sell malts at McDonald's. They sell chocolate
they mean
shakes.
Yeah, they might have meant shakes. It might be a regional thing.
I don't think I could eat that on a dare.
I could.
I had to be really hungry. I've definitely done the two Big Macs thing with fries, but that was a long time ago.
I'm sort of some sort of baby man, evidently, not eating four sandwiches. Think Tank coming up with Steve Ellman and Ian Mackey, two of our favorites, and Wheeler's already made some threats to Steve Ellman, so this should be really good.
I didn't say that. I said a question for him.
Mm-hmm. Everything you ask him, ask it in milk throat.
I don't know if I can do it on purpose.
You did it a while ago. You want some fun facts?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you've seen the movie Inception, this may sound familiar. A neurotech company claims to have achieved the first two-way communication between two individual humans while they were both lucid dreaming. So according to them, they were dead asleep in REM and were able to pass verifiable messages back and forth through this technology that linked their brains.
Neat. I don't understand any of it, but I'm going to take their word for it.
As soon as they give us a remote control for our dreams, we can do what we want, I'm in.
I mean, remember, you probably don't remember, there's
flying.
A movie called Dreamscape.
Yeah, I do remember that one.
Oh, man, when Dennis Quaid was young and handsome and not conservative. And he was a guy that could get into other people's dreams and interact with them. This is basically that. 13 middle school cheerleaders in Texas are suffering from second-degree burns on their hands after their coach made them perform bear crawls and crab walks on the hot outdoor track as punishment.
I saw this. Very messed up. They performed a cheer that their coach didn't want them to perform, and she was like, that is so disrespectful. So the next day at practice, she made them do these bear crawls, and there are photos of their little palms, and they're all burnt.
How old again?
I think like 14, yeah. 13 okay. and 14.
In theory, no problem with quote-unquote punishment runs or things like that for discipline if they did something like that, but not in that scenario.
Mm-mm.
Can't put them on the hot turf.
A zeptosecond is a trillionth of a billionth of a second. It's the smallest unit of time ever measured. A trillionth of a billionth.
Why would we measure that?
Great question.
We can't even perceive it.
Great question. Yeah, in what? Maybe AI? Maybe computers work that fast? I don't know. Question for Rach, because Wheeler
that?
Probably know this. What do all 42 of the top NFL scorers of all time have in common?
Mm-hmm.
The top scorers of all time, they're all really good at football.
That's
yes.
True. Yeah.
They all play the same position.
Yes.
Oh, what is that?
Kicker.
They're all kickers.
Oh, cool. That's a fun fact. It's definitely more fun than the cheerleaders burning their
hands. They play forever and they get points every week.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Lawrence of Arabia. Ever seen that one?
A long time ago.
Over 220 minutes long and does not have a single line of dialogue spoken by a woman.
What?
Not one. No women.
Huh.
I wish there was a funny line for that, but we're all just like, oh, that's not
good. Sign of the times, I guess.